Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta, and today this is a solo podcast, and I'm going to talk about when should you stay the course and when should you make a change? And this is, I think, a really interesting question that all of us have to decide at some point in our lives. And on the one hand, I'm sure that you've had this experience when you are going after something that you really want and it doesn't necessarily come immediately, right? You've got to, what do you have to do? Well, you have to stay the course in order to keep going and achieve what it is that you want to achieve. On the other hand, right? On the other hand, it doesn't mean that the other thing that can be dangerous is that we just blindly keep doing something. There's that saying, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting different results, right? So we don't want to, necessarily sometimes, right? This whole show is about creating change, which is about doing different things. So the question becomes, how do you know when to do something different or when to stay the course? I think it's really important. I know that if you're listening to this, you're most likely someone that has a vision of your life. You know, you have a vision of what you want your life to be. I don't think that that vision, that fundamental vision, is something that changes much for us. You know, I think that our purpose, if we can put it that way, is something that stays fairly the same. And so for me, you know, my purpose has always been about helping people share their voice in the world. And I've done that no matter, you know, I've done many different jobs, but no matter what job I did, it was always about sort of bringing out the best in others, whether that was in therapy, whether it's in podcast coaching. If I gave up on that mission, if I said, okay, well, now I'm going to go sell cars and somehow, and I couldn't connect that to my purpose or my mission, I'm probably giving up on my purpose, right? And that's where we say, you know, people say never quit, right? I think that's where we should never quit. We should never quit trying to live our purpose in the world. That, I think, is really important. But the other piece of it, which is the how do we get there piece of it, right, is something that sometimes we have to think about. I want to share a story with you. So I've been doing writing for about almost 25 years now. And I've actually been doing writing longer than that because I've been writing my whole life, but seriously writing about 25 years. And I've written many plays and I've helped produce over 100. I've helped develop over 100 produced plays by kids as young as 8 and adults as old as 80 years old. And I also studied screenwriting at Gotham Writers Workshop in New York City. And I helped, you know, at that time, being in a writer's group, there were other people that were writing screenplays as well. And I had an opportunity, this is about 2008, a friend of mine won a contest. And the contest was to direct a film that was going to be produced by Spike Lee. And so he won this contest, and there was not really a script attached. So he was going to have to write the script. There was a general idea of what it was, but he was going to have to write the script. And so he reached out to me and said, you know, Doug, would you want to go ahead and write this script with me? And so I thought, yeah, what a great opportunity, right? Write the script for this movie. And we worked together. And my friend, by the way, if he's listening to this, is awesome. He's a great guy. And I know that he knows we went through this experience together. We worked on it for about 2 years, something like that. I think we worked on the script for about 2 years. And we went through sort of change after change after change. And the producers came back and they wanted this change and that change. And at some point, I don't know exactly what happened. All the funding got pulled out and the company ran out of money. I don't know what they spent their money on, but they ran out of money. And so there went the movie. And, you know, worked on the script for 2 years. And I made a decision at that point that I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to do something different because there's nothing wrong with screenwriting but I just don't have the passion and fire to spend a couple of years working on a project that may or may not go anywhere. So I went back to playwriting, and I've also, and then I started, you know, podcasting. I was already into podcasting at that time, but just starting to do podcasting. And what I found was that I really liked, you know, what I liked about playwriting and I liked about podcasting is that I could sort of control that it goes out in the world. So I made a change. I made a change in terms of not, you know, to stop doing, stop working on screenplays and do something else. But I didn't give up on my passion for telling stories, my passion for being creative. I funneled it and channeled it into a different place. So if you're thinking about, for example, should I stay the course or should I make a change? Sometimes we have to look at the feedback that the world is giving us. And I think what's important about this is to think about, so many times people say, I want to do this and I want to do that. I remember when I was a young writer and when I was younger, and people would say things like, I want to write a 7-hour film. You know, I want to make a 7-hour film. Well, you may want to make a 7-hour film, but nobody may want to watch it. You know, and maybe they will. Maybe you're a genius and they want to watch it, and that's great. However, you know, a lot of times we were thinking about, what we were thinking about is what we wanted, but not necessarily what the world was going to want as well. So that's where sometimes we need to make a pivot or a shift in our lives based on what life is telling us, right? Sometimes we're getting feedback. And when people say never quit, again, I think the difference is never quit on your ultimate purpose and dreams in life. But sometimes we do need to make a change. I think of it like, for example, if you were traveling somewhere, you know, you're going to visit your family, you're traveling from New York to Florida, and you're going to visit your family, right, for a family reunion, and you're driving down a road, and all of a sudden there's a giant detour there, and there's a boulder that's fallen in the middle of the road, right? If you said to yourself, I'm just going to drive this truck right over the boulder, right through the boulder, right into the boulder, because I am never going to quit. Well, that's great, but there's a giant boulder in the road, right? And you've got to acknowledge that that boulder is there. Now, maybe you can move the boulder, and maybe you can, maybe, you know, see what you can do, right? But at some point, it might make sense to say, I am going to take another path, right? I'm going to take another path. I'm going to go around it. And maybe I didn't plan to visit Virginia, but now I'm going to be visiting. I think you have to, actually. I don't think there's any way around going from New York to Florida without going through Virginia, but you get the idea. You know, I wasn't planning to visit DC, but now I'm going to be visiting DC because I'm going to go around. Well, you're not giving up, right? You're changing course, but your ultimate destination, the ultimate destination to get to your family, to get to the reunion, is the same. And I think it's the same way. I would encourage you and ask you to think about in your life, you know, think about when you're thinking about your goals and the things that you want to do. If there are boulders in the road, right, that are kind of immovable, then start to think about, what is an intersection of what I want to do and what the world wants to be done. This comes from actually Frederick Buechner in What Color Is Your Parachute? They talk about this, that Frederick Buechner says the intersection of what you, the intersection, your sweet spot in the world is the intersection between what you most need to do and what the world needs most to be done, and finding that fit. So when you think about making a change, it's really about, you know, there has to be some core values and some core purpose at the bottom of things that I think is unchangeable, right? That stays with you your entire life. But at the same time, to be flexible in the how you get there. And like I said, for me, I enjoy podcasting really as much as I enjoyed writing screenplays. You know, I'm still working on scripts. I still work on stories. I help people with their stories. I get to do all that stuff that I love to do. But now I get to do it in a way that I want to do it, right? Now, for somebody else, they may say, you know what? Screenwriting is my thing. I want to write for film, and that is my ultimate purpose. In which case, you want to keep going, right? You want to keep going. I'm certainly not telling you to give up on your dreams. I hope that you don't take away from this that's the story that you give up on your dreams, but we have to be flexible. You know, I thought that with the time that we have, I would actually share with you a story. And I may have shared this story before, but it was so long ago that I want to share it with you again, that illustrates this idea of, you know, when should I give in and when should I change course and when should I stay the course? And I'm going to share with you the story of Ray Johnston. And Ray is I interviewed Ray. He's one of the first people that I interviewed when I first started podcasting, and I had a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And it was just such an amazing, I've interviewed now about 1500 people, and Ray's story still sticks with me as one of the most powerful stories that I've ever heard. And I'm going to share it with you as an illustration of this idea of when to change the course and when to keep going. So Ray graduated from college in, I believe it was 2002. And from the time that he was little, he always wanted to play in the NBA. The thing is that Ray is probably maybe an inch or two short, taller than me, and I'm 5'7 on a good day. And he went to a small school in the South that was not a particularly good school. He didn't get scouted. He didn't get discovered by the NBA. He did play college ball in a small school, but nobody was looking for him, you know, when he graduated. And so, like most of us, you know, he said, okay, well, I'm not going to play in the NBA, so I'll get a job. And Ray went into real estate. He decided to go ahead and go into real estate. He went to high-end real estate and moved to the Dallas, Texas area. At the time, because he was in real estate and was doing some high-end real estate, he was able to get tickets, box seats, to the Dallas Mavericks games. And at the games, he met some people there, including a man named Michael Irvin, who some of you, if you're familiar with sports, will know that Michael Irvin was probably one of the best wide receivers that the Dallas Cowboys ever had, and was on the Super Bowl team. And so he met some professional athletes who were from, you know, football athletes, mostly football athletes. And they liked him. They started talking to him. He's a very personable kind of guy. And they invited him to play pickup basketball with him. And so he started playing basketball and talking to them and getting to know them. And they said, you know, you're pretty good. You know, you're pretty good for a little white guy. You know, why don't you try out for the summer? You should try out for the summer league. You know, Dallas Mavericks have a summer league. And he said, I don't think I could get into that. And they said, no, you know, we know Mark Cuban. We'll get you into the tryouts and give it a shot. So what Ray said, the way he described it to me, is that he wasn't necessarily the most talented player ever, but he really knew the system. He studied the system. And because he knew the system, that gave him a leg up. And so they ended up choosing him to be on the summer league for the Dallas Mavericks. So here you go. He's out of school at this point for 2 years. This is 2004 by this point. He's been out of school for 2 years, wasn't drafted, didn't go to a big school, and all of a sudden he's playing on the summer team for the Dallas Mavericks. Now that sounds kind of cool, but it gets even better. At some point, in a couple weeks from there, he ended up trying out because I guess they had some injuries to their six-man, seventh-man, and he ended up trying out for the regular Dallas Mavericks team and ended up making that so that in the fall he was going to start actually playing for the Dallas Mavericks and becoming a professional basketball player after going to a small school, not being scouted. Now, if that was the story, that would be a great story, but that's actually not the story. And in a moment, I'll explain to you how this ties into staying the course and when to change. A couple weeks later, this is in the summer now of 2004, Ray is playing pickup ball in front of his house, and he's playing and he moves to the hoop, and His leg hits one of his friends, his shin. He kind of smashes his shin against one of his friend's shins. And, you know, he's, ow, that hurt. And he goes inside, puts some ice on it, and goes ahead and rests it. The next day he wakes up and his leg is about twice the size. The one that he smashed his shin against, let's say it was his left leg, it was about twice the size of his other leg. And he thought to himself, man, this doesn't look good. But I'm going to rest some more and put some more ice on it. Hopefully tomorrow it'll be better. Well, guess what? The next day wasn't any better. And Ray wakes up and he can't even walk. So he calls his mother and he says, Mom, can you take me to the hospital? Can you take me to the emergency room? I got to get this checked out. My leg's not doing so well. So his mother takes him to the hospital. And the way he tells it, you know, Ray has this kind of southern voice and the southern drawl. And you know, he says to me, you know, Doug, I remember I got to the, you know, I got to the emergency room and about, this is, it was July of 2004, and I remember blacking out. And he says, and I woke up, and I was in a hospital room, and I looked at the TV, and it said that George Bush had just beat John Kerry for the presidency of the United States. He had been in a coma from July until November of 2004. And he said, and the thing is, when I woke up, you know, my family was there and they didn't seem particularly happy to see me. And that made me really worried because I was just didn't know what was going on. And the doctor came in and he said, Ray, I've got some bad news for you. And I got some worse news. And then I got some worse news yet. And so Ray said, all right, just give it to me. What is it? And the doctor said, well, you're not going to play basketball. The bad news is you're not going to be playing basketball for the Dallas Mavericks. He said, the worst news is you're not going to be playing basketball ever again. And he showed him, he looked down and his foot was amputated halfway. About half of his foot had been amputated. And then he said, and he goes, the other thing is that your body is 90% leukemic. He says you have advanced leukemia. And we don't know how much we can do for you, but we'll certainly try to treat you to the best of your ability. Now imagine Ray being someone who never gave up on his dream, right? Who always wanted, from the time that he was a kid, he always wanted to play in the NBA, and he always wanted to get this, and he always wanted to be a star. And now he got a chance to be on the Dallas Mavericks after not being drafted, after playing for a small school, after beating all the odds. And then having all that ripped away from you. And they said to him, you know, the doctor and his family said, you know, just make yourself comfortable. But Ray couldn't do that. There was something in him that he couldn't do that. And he decided, he said, you know what? I've got to do something with the amount of time that I have left, however much time I have left. But what else could he do? You know, this is all he's ever wanted to do. All he ever wanted to do was play basketball. And he thought to himself, you know, there is one other thing that I wanted to do. He started to ask himself, what else? If I couldn't play basketball, if I have to put that dream behind me, what else could I do? And he said, you know, I've always enjoyed music, you know. He said, I've always loved music. And if I could start a band and raise money for leukemia research and share my love of music with others, that would feel like a good use of the rest of the time that I have on this planet. And the doctor said to him, don't do that. And his family said to him, don't do that. And he wasn't even sure how he would even start a band. But fortunately, because Mark Cuban knew what was going on. And by the way, if those of you don't know, Mark Cuban is not only the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, but he's a billionaire. And Mark Cuban said, listen, if you want to start a band, I will pay for it. And you pick the musicians you want, I'll make it happen. So Ray ended up picking like Erykah Badu's backup singer and, you know, the drummer for Santana. And he just picked, you know, he said basically like an all-star team around him. And he created a band called the Ray Johnston Band. He decided, I'm going to tour and I'm going to raise money for leukemia research. But Ray being Ray, he didn't want to just give money to the American Leukemia Association. He wanted to do something different. And so what he did, he found someone to help him distribute the money, and his instructions to them were, you know, give the money to the person who's doing the craziest research out there. You know, whoever, don't give it to American Leukemia Association, the people that are doing the, you know, the pretty tried and true stuff for leukemia. Give it to somebody who's doing some crazy research that nobody else was giving money to, because I want to support that person. And So they did, and Ray was getting treatment, and it was at least keeping leukemia at bay. And he, within a year, he had raised a significant amount of money for leukemia research, and he felt really good about that. And then one day, he collapsed on stage, and they brought him to the hospital, and they said, Ray, at this point, you know, we've given you all the treatments that we can give you to try to, you know, to try to remove the leukemia. It's still in your system. And at this point, we're going to move to what's called palliative care. We're going to make you comfortable, and we're going to send you home on hospice, and we're going to basically, you know, prepare to die, prepare to get ready to go home and die. And Ray made peace with that. You know, he realized, though, that he, you know, other people had told him, don't do this, don't go out there, don't start a band, and he did it, right? He did it, and he found something that he could do that he enjoyed, that he loved, when he could no longer do the other thing that he loved, right? The thing that he had persisted so long in pursuing, that dream. And he went home and he made peace with the fact that he was ready to die. About a week in to being on hospice, the phone rings and Ray picks up the phone and he says, hello. And there's a Japanese man on the other line, and he says, "Hello, this is Dr. Yamamoto from the University of Tokyo. Is Ray Johnston there?" And Ray said, "Yeah, this is me, but I'm a little busy right now. What do you want?" And he goes, "Well, I need to talk to you. I'm Dr. Yamamoto from the University of Tokyo." And Ray says, yes, I got that. I got that you're Dr. Yamamoto. What do you want?" And he says, "Remember when you said to give money to the craziest person that, you know, you said give money to the crazy person who was doing leukemia research?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm that crazy person." And he goes, "Well, it's nice to meet you, Dr. Yamamoto. I'm glad we could help you." And he says, "Listen, the reason I'm calling is because we actually have developed a medication for leukemia, a treatment for leukemia that works on a specific type of leukemia. And it happens to be the type of leukemia that you have. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to help us go to human trials and be the first person to try it." Now, Ray says, "Well, what do I have to lose, right? What do I have to lose?" So he goes ahead and he tries it. And in Ray's words, again, you know, this is Ray being Ray and the way he speaks. And he says, "You know, Doug, I don't remember the name of the medication." He goes, "Tama something. We call me and my doctor call it Tammy. But, you know, she went right through my bloodstream. And basically he went into full remission from a death sentence." And what ended up happening is, of course, you look back, by changing course, by being willing to think about what else he could do, he ended up raising that money for research, and that research ended up contributing to the very drug that saved his life. And to this day, so this is like 2005, to this day, Ray is still alive, as far as I know. I haven't checked last week, but I believe he is. He's still alive. He's still touring, and he's still out there doing his thing. And he has a great passion for music, and he has this, you know, this is his passion now. This is his thing. And the reason I share that story with you is to say, you know, Ray had a moment, he had a choice about what he wanted to do. And in that moment, he could have chosen to say, "This was my dream. This is the only dream I've ever wanted, was to play in the NBA. And now that it's been taken away from me, what's the point? And I'm going to give up. And I will just wait, and I'll lay on this bed and I'll wait to die." Right? Or he could have made, or he made the choice that he did. And he said, "Given that I can't do this other thing, given that there's, like I said, the boulder in the road, right? Given that there's this boulder in the road, I can go around it and I can see what else is there that would drive me," right? And so when people sometimes say, never quit, it's true, never quit. But sometimes in life, we have to change course. And when you change course and you decide that you're going to do something, that's where the perseverance comes in. And that's where staying the course really matters, because when you choose that new thing, you've got to stay with it. If you pivot too much, you're going to be driving all over the world, right? If you keep turning and twisting and turning, you're not going to be able to build the momentum that you need. But once Ray made that decision that he was going to be a musician and that was going to be the thing that he was going to do, because that's what he could do at this point, it turned out to be something he loved. It turned out to be something that he's given joy to, I think, tens of thousands of people at this point. And I know that one of his goals at this point is to sell out the Dallas Mavericks arena. I don't know what the name of the Dallas Mavericks arena is, but his goal is to sell out the arena at some point. And he's not given up on that dream. So that's what I want you to think about. That's what I leave you with today to think about as we wind up here, is to really think about, what are the things in your life that you need to stay the course, right? That you need to keep going, and you need to keep pushing, and not let anyone tell you that you can't do it? And what are the things in your life where maybe if life throws you a curveball, maybe if life is not going the way you wanted it to, or maybe just you have lost your passion for the thing that you thought you once wanted, when can you make that, you know, when is it time for you, on what things might it be time for you to make that change, to change your life? And I've actually, American Airlines Center is the arena. Thank you to my producer, to the producer, Matt, for that. So America, yes, it's Ray's goal to sell out American Airlines Center. So think about that in your life. That's my homework for you this week, to think about in your life, what things do you need to change the course and what things do you need to stay the course? Thanks, everyone. This is Doug Foresta. As always, remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, I'll see you next time on Creating Change.